This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noelle Lim. From poultry to real estate, Lagenda Properties has transformed its fortunes and aspires to become a nationwide affordable township property developer. To tell us more is Dato' Jimmy Do, the Managing Director of Lagenda. His family owns 74% of the company. Welcome to the show, Jimmy. Lagenda delivered healthy earnings of 42 million ringgit in April to June, despite I hear that the economic crisis has really affected the lower and lower middle income class, your target segment. What's helping grow and sustain demand when people are feeling uncertain about their jobs and the economy?
Actually, Lagenda is very focused on majority of our house buyers are first house buyers. And we are very focused on the second tier states where major developers are not going to. For example, I'm from Setiawan. There are not many big developers actually come by here to serve us. You won't see big names coming by here to actually develop housing in a small town like ours. But everywhere, every human need a house, right? Every family need a house and a roof over their head. So we are very focused in what we are doing, and we intend to actually deliver most of the first house buyer a home that they can afford. Even during pandemic like this, a lot of people are feeling very uncertain about their job, but they still need a home that they can afford. So we are very certain moving forward, the demand is still very, very bullish.
People have the option of renting. So why are they opting to buy a house? Obviously, they must be confident about something. What is driving that confidence?
Being Asian at the first place, I think majority of us really want to own our own rather than renting one. So this is actually something that I think most of our parents has actually brought down or taught us from younger days. Yeah, and on top of it, what Lagenda do different than the others is actually we are building township affordable housing. Therefore, it comes together with a lot of amenities and facilities that usually do not exist in those second tier towns like Setiawan. I used to play badminton in the Indian temple. It's a temple, but it is also a badminton court. There's also a badminton court there, and that is the only badminton court. If not, we have to go to the school. So we realized that actually in a lot of second-tier towns, there is a lot of needs of improvisation on amenities and also facilities, even simple things like badminton courts.
From a macro basis, about foreign investments, that is slowing down in Malaysia. So what is driving the economic activity in some of the second-tier cities that you want to be in?
I don't think that there's many of economies driven in the second tier due to investment from overseas. But we being in a second tier town, like for Setiawan itself, there are many farmers, and we are quite self-sustainable with a population of over 200,000 to 300,000 people. We have our own government departments here, our own majlis, our own police station, our own nurses, our own hospitals. And most of my house buyers, which is consisting of over 70%, are actually government officers. And for government, they encourage their officers to actually own a house by allowing even a personal with a net salary of 1,007, they can loan up to 200,000 to own a house. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of small town like Setiawan, actually ratio of population over number of houses available is very high. It means, like for example, if you go to a certain state, population over houses could be up to 10 to 20% to a house. Selangor is about 3% to a house because there are many houses being built, and there are many major developers are able to build houses serving to the Selangor population.
How much do government incentives weigh into the demand of the homes that you sell?
Okay, I will say that every year there's different incentive and budget. If you can see on a year-to-year basis, governments, being whoever they are, they always want to help the local level income. And of course, their own government officers. So at this point of time, the private sectors are cutting their employment salaries and employee salary and all, but you don't see government doing that. because government always need to take care of their employees, number one. Number two is, of course, I think from those days itself, stamp duties has been waived for those first house buyers. And recently, we also hear that even if you are buying houses below 200,000, which is an affordable range, if you were to sell it, you can actually don't pay RPGT. You don't have to pay tax. Basically, I think there are a lot of incentives that government will always improvise on a year-to-year basis, making sure that the lower income group actually get more or live a more comfortable environment.
Now that the political impasse at the federal level is over and UMNO is back in the top seat, what impact does this have on the demand for properties amongst your target buyers? Federal government would be more generous when it comes to improving the welfare of civil servants.
Well, whoever the government is, we are very policy-driven company. So what we do actually is we follow the whatever that the government or state policy is, and we usually build our house according to what is needed or what is allowed by the government. Like Bumi Kotas is never an issue to us. Building affordable housing within the state's affordable range is always what we have been doing. I think where whoever the government is, a good government will always want to take care of the lower level income, which is a majority of Malaysians.
And what about in terms of getting approvals? Now, would there be more certainty or do you expect you'll be more or less status quo?
I would say that due to FMCO and various lockdowns, no doubt there will be certain delay in certain processing. But for Lagenda, we have been very focused in doing only affordable. Our houses in our townships are all Rumah Perak in Perak. So we don't have the high-end houses. Government actually, even government officers themselves, whenever they approve our plan, they are very happy to see a developer wanting to do something that they all can afford to buy. So getting approval is very rarely a problem. And we are even getting a lot of invitations from state GLCs, government-linked companies, to join venture with them, because a lot of our state GLCs are listed in as a listed company. They need to deliver profit, good profitable, to the shareholders. At the same time, going according to the state policy, which is building more affordable houses, and we are the right candidate.
Yeah, so I see that you are working with like some state GLCs like Bina Darul Aman in Kedah, and also like you probably can work with state authorities as well, and maybe even Islamic-based institutions that own land too, and that's one way for you to keep your prices affordable by having these kind of joint venture partners.
Yes, of course, Lagenda is still very small today, I would say. We just started out from Perak. We have our third township launch in Tapa this year, probably the fourth township in Kedah next year. The demand for affordable housing all over Malaysia is huge. We are looking at about 1 million people need affordable housing all over. So we are not only having two joint ventures with Maju Perak and Bina Darul Aman, but we are also in need of talking with many other GLCs who are willing to come over to joint venture with us for the same, target or same goal, which is building more affordable housing that is within reach for majority Malaysians. Of course, being on a joint venture, we don't have to come up with upfront land costs. Some of the land can cost up to 50 to 100 million. If I were to buy two townships, it will cost some kind of money that will actually probably jeopardize Lagenda in cash flow. So therefore, having more joint venture partners just expedite our process or probably make our life better in achieving our goal.
Yeah, the GLCs have the land and then you come in. How does the profit sharing take place?
Usually, we will definitely guarantee a minimum land cost back to the land owner. First of all, during the signing of agreement, there will definitely be a small token or as a deposit of the joint venture. Usually, it will range from about 1 to 2 million ringgit. And after that, we will guarantee a minimum back to the landowner, which is assuming the land cost is 50 million in their book. We will make sure that 50 million is going to be there. And then whatever we make, we usually share 50-50 with our partners along the way.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting opportunity as you can help state bodies and state GLCs unlock the value of their land and raise funds.
You can say that, and majority of those land that is actually on the second tier town does not attract any attention from the big developers or the big boys from the major cities.
Maybe not yet.
I won't know. It is not the trend currently. So I would say that this is after all, we are looking at all over Malaysia. There are so many other states and so many states that need housing. So I think even if there are 10 developers doing it, the market is too big. I always tell people, even if Lagenda is able to build 10,000 houses every year, we are only solving 1% of the total needed houses, which is 1 million currently.
What may discourage or deter a larger property developer from coming into your market space?
I probably will share a bit of my experience, not to say that it's very negative, but, you know, for my team, they have always been complaining since day one that we enter into this market. In order for us to achieve 1 million target, it is selling easily 5 to 6 houses. Major developers or people working in big companies or selling high-end houses, probably they only need to sell one house or probably half a house. Some houses in KL are even going up to 2 million or so. So for them to achieve the target of 1 million or 2 million is a lot easier than people in my team. However, we have been in this industry for the past 5 years or so. We have gotten used to it. It's just basically every day going on the treadmill, running 5 km a day. And today, probably we are able to run 10 km a day and we don't feel anything. So I think the initiate to start the journey going, on the volume game, is going to be a tedious decision to the team.
I am speaking to Dato' Jimmy Doh, the Managing Director of Lagenda Properties. We continue our discussion on new projects and his outlook of the company's market valuation.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Dato' Jimmy Doh, the Managing Director of Lagenda Properties, joins us today. You want to become a nationwide developer, and so outside Perak, you've now got projects in Kedah and Pahang. Why stretch yourself and go wide instead of sinking your roots into a few states?
Well, I will say that our vision is to actually make every Malaysian able to own one house. I mean, at this point of time, times are tough for everyone. I think due to COVID, a lot of people are affected. A lot of families are affected. Living expenses has been on the rise. I mean, everybody knows even the nasi lemak we eat last time due to COVID now is actually more expensive, surprisingly. And everybody is getting a pay cut. So to me, I think that at this point of time, it is actually important for Lagenda to grow faster and reach out to those population that need housing. And also during this pandemic, lands that's up for sale actually are quite affordable as well compared to good times, where land price will be much higher. So it's the best time for Lagenda to acquire now and develop later on.
Who are these parties that are selling land at lower prices now?
Okay, first of all, I will say that it is not probably who, but everybody is selling their land at this point of time because of market uncertainty. I think liquidity is very important in a lot of companies. And everybody thinks that at this point of time, it's better to hold cash than something that's not liquid because we don't know what's going to happen probably this year or even next year. Nobody can tell us nobody can predict what is going to happen. So due to that, and they are willing to negotiate for better pricing or lower pricing for us at this point of time due to a lack of demand for acquisition of land at this point of time.
A lot of these owners may be SME business owners, and they are liquidating their assets like their land in order to keep their own businesses afloat. Is that the kind of trend you are seeing?
We are getting that kind of inquiries. Yes, we are seeing that kind of trend coming over to sustain themselves. I'm even hearing some people wanting to migrate because of whatever scenarios they are facing, and they probably just want to liquidate and move on with their life and or probably migrate overseas. So we are receiving many kind of scenario at this point of time due to COVID and the pandemic and the economic situation.
What sort of profit margins do you hope to maintain going outside Perak and also in this affordable space?
We actually reverse engineer our house price according to the state's affordability. Okay, Perak can, on an average household income of 2,600 or so, we can afford to sell houses about 200,000 and below. However, we realize that when we go to certain other states like Johor, the salary, average salary in Johor is actually much higher, which is at 3,500 or so. So they can actually afford to sell house, to buy houses at 200 over 1,000. But average houses in Johor are actually at 300 over 1,000. So we believe that we are able to maintain our minimum profit after tax of 25% and above moving out of Perak. We have been able to deliver that in Perak.
And speaking of this, so far, which has been the most challenging state for you to enter?
I think every project, every launching, every state, every approval is challenging. But I think it is not something that is beyond our control, because we are actually a very policy-driven company. So we go to the state, we adhere or we follow whatever affordable rate that the state wants us to sell, and we will mass produce it. It is very good for the state to approve it, because the population in the state can afford more affordable houses. As I mentioned earlier, actually, average houses available in the market nationwide is way above what majority Malaysians can afford to buy. I will say that this is an issue that actually we should address too, because the salaries in the past 10 years for majority Malaysians has not increased that much compared to the housing price. So imagine if 10 years ago you could not afford a house, probably you could never afford a house if you look at the housing price today compared to your salary and compared to the house price 10 years ago.
How are you bringing down construction costs through technology or maybe using IBS, Industrialized Building System?
Yeah, definitely. It is unavoidable that as we are moving forward, the whole world is changing. Everybody is thinking that now the most important thing on a person is actually a phone rather than anything else. So I don't deny that probably all this technology will be the future, even in construction industry. We are already exploring, we are already having some of our phases using IBS system. However, we think that currently there are still conventional way can still be a little bit cost savvy compared to the IBS system. Bear in mind, we are doing landed. I think if you do high rise, probably technology will be more stable. So, but we cannot deny that moving forward, we may have to fully digitalize everything that we are doing.
In terms of size or market capitalization, Lagenda is only about a quarter the size of the biggest property developers, Sime and SP Satir. But of course, granted that you are a new kid in the block. But the move to become a full-fledged property developer has done wonders to Lagenda's bottom line and market valuation. Where do you see the company's market cap in, say, 5 years?
Well, I will not dare to boast much at this point of time. I will say that we are still today very small compared to what we are doing. But you can imagine if we have done so well only being in Perak and only delivering the numbers from projects in Perak. And moving on in 5 years, we probably will be at least five states, because our commitment is to launch minimum one township every year. I guess we will probably be many folds of where we are by then.
So you may double your market cap in 5 years' time.
Yeah, probably even more.
Broadly speaking, with UMNO back in power, how do business people like yourself view this for Malaysia in the long term?
Politically, I will say whoever is in power, I think the most important thing is for the government to take care of the majority Malaysians. I think there are still a lot of rich Malaysians who does not need help from the government. I mean, they can afford to send their children overseas, they can get their education abroad. But I will say that for us in Lagenda, the most important thing is whatever government policies and whoever is in power, we will just follow and we will make sure that we will deliver that to the majority Malaysians.
Apart from fighting the pandemic right now, what do you hope the government will step up on?
I think if the government can probably adapt to new norm, probably expedite. I think Malaysians are full of creative population. We are all very creative. We can come up with a lot of things in a very short time. You can be so, I think if you look at how the netizens sometimes come up with things so fast and come up with creative statements, creative pictures so fast, I think if we can all use it for the good of for Malaysia, I think we can go to a different level compared to the other peers. I think today, probably economically or overall, Malaysia is not doing great in the Asian region. But I think with the creativity we have and moving forward, I think if we combine all our strength together and the government can get all of us being united together on one goal, one direction, I think we will do much better.
And what should that one goal, one direction be?
For better quality lifestyle and probably for our ringgit to strengthen so that when we go to other countries, we won't feel the pinch.
Okay, I hope so too. Thank you so much for speaking with us and all the best. Datuk Jimmy Doe, Managing Director of Lagenda Properties. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.